Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Denny Hamlin just beat your favorite driver again. NASCAR is ready to head to Mexico City. Hi, I'm Doug Rice. Stick around for the next hour.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, in for Brett McMillan, here's Doug Rice.
So thrilled to have you on this edition of the Pit Reporters. Brett McMillan has started his sabbatical, whatever that is. But anyway, he's away having a great time, so I'm honored to be filling the chair for him. We have a couple of great guests here for you today. From SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Davey Siegel, and a betting analyst and content provider, and also provides content for SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Tino Patino. Davey, good to have you on the show, man. Thanks a lot for making time.
Doug, no place I'd rather be as we look ahead to Mexico and recap Michigan. Always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
And Tino Patino sets odds on lots of different sporting events, including NASCAR. And I've been doing a little bit of research on it. I am so glad, for those of you that may be watching this on one of our social channels, that you're sporting your well-known golden jacket.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for having me on. I had to show out, do the best I could, dress the best I can for such an awesome show like this. So I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'm excited for a great show here today.
All right, Dino, Davey, thanks a lot again. The consensus is in on Michigan, Davey, and folks say maybe the best race of the year. A lot of racing, a lot of side-by-side. So what does this do to the argument? Well, we need more horsepower, and we got to change the cars.
I don't know what it does for that argument, Doug. That's a good point. But the one thing, and I hate to be like the Debbie Downer in this scenario, but leaving Michigan when I was watching the Prime post-race, listening to it on SiriusXM, the one thing that I kept going back to was, man, it'd be nice to have Auto Club. I mean, how nice would it be to just go to Fontana and have, you can't say a carbon copy of the race that we saw on Sunday, but it's the only other two-mile oval that we had raced on similar to Michigan in the past, and unfortunately, as we know, it's no longer operational as of this current moment. And if it does come back, which I know, Doug, you're pretty skeptical of, as are a lot of people, myself included, it won't be a two-mile oval. So, look, the horsepower discussion, that's one thing, and that's been something that has been brought up constantly, whether it's on a short track, an intermediate, super speedways, or these two-mile ovals. All I know is that the drafting, the side drafting, the runs that these drivers were getting going into the corner, setting themselves up to get a good run off each corner, it was really exciting stuff. I don't use the word scintillating a lot. It's kind of like a Dickie V word with March Madness, but the race that I saw on Sunday, I think, was scintillatingly sensational.
Davey,
in honor of Dickie V.
Scintillating. No, it's a great word, and I think it aptly describes what happened. Tino, your take on what we saw up at Michigan.
Well, I don't use as big of words as Davey does, but I'll go as far as to say that race was epic. One of the best races of the year. And I think the thing is, when we talked about the car itself, right, I would say Michigan was probably my favorite race thus far. But what other races can we compare? Coke 600 was very good in terms of cars and leaders battling for the lead and passing. Miami was very good. Vegas. But what's the common theme of this? All intermediate style racetracks, all fast pace. So when we're talking about the car itself, to me, I think there are improvements that need to be made. Short tracks, road courses, other types of racetracks that aren't what we've been seeing the best performances on. But I'll go as far as to also say this is the most competitive I've watched NASCAR these past few years in this next gen era. The field has done its job in terms of all being similar, right? You broke down the car. Everyone has the same parts and pieces. Sure, the bigger teams have advantages from a money standpoint and performance standpoints there from what they can get out of their teams and drivers. But when we're talking about the drivers racing closer together, that's what I'm seeing more of. When I was growing up watching NASCAR, right, 2006, 7, 8, people were winning by large margins. Even Kevin Harvick, when he dominated, went by 10 seconds there in his era when he won a championship. So to me, we're seeing closer races, more photo finishes, more last lap passes. I think that's great. I know people want more passing, and the drivers want more horsepower. So I think NASCAR should sort of listen to the drivers and what they say as well from that standpoint.
Yeah, we need to be careful about the rose-colored glasses of the past. The first time that I ever went to Daytona was for the then Firecracker 400 that ran at 10 o'clock in the morning. Three cars on the lead lap. Kel Yarborough won by 2 miles that day. So let's kind of frame the past properly as it should be done. Denny Hamlin won at Michigan, his 57th career win, and start 7-0-1. and, you know, got out and he took a shot at all the Michiganders by giving the Ohio sign and, you know, plays to I beat your favorite driver, all of them. Davey, I know some people don't like the guy. I think this is marvelous theater. I love it.
I love it as well. And I've said for a while, Doug, that NASCAR fans don't necessarily like Denny because he's got swag. And he is not afraid to show it, as we've seen in the Netflix documentary. He's got a big old house on Lake Norman. He's got his own helicopter. He's got a bowling alley in his house. He's got a collection of Jays. He's boys with Michael Jordan. That's not an everyday man. That's not your Dale Earnhardt. That's not the king, Richard Petty, who's having good egg heady powder all the time, right? This is Denny Hamlin. He is his own man. He is his own guy. And he's not the prototypical NASCAR driver. Sure, he's from Chesterfield, Virginia. Sure, he came up winning and running well on short tracks. But this is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny. But you can't fault him for doing what he's doing, man. 700 starts. There is only a handful of drivers that have had success at the level that Denny is currently having after their 700th career start. And all those drivers are Hall of Famers. Denny Hamlin, in my mind, a first ballot, no doubt Hall of Famer. And also, he loves playing the heel, to your point. And as a Michigan State Spartan, I am all for anybody trashing Michigan anytime, any place, anywhere. So he hit the horns down in Texas. Didn't go too well for him there. He hit the OH at Michigan when the race was already done, and he had the checkered flag and the trophy. So I am all for the theater.
I think he learned you save that trolling until after you win. And then you drop it. And I actually think the folks that love Michigan got it. Where do you live, Tino, on Denny Hamlin as a heel?
I love it. I think he is great for the sport. And not only is he great for the sport, it's needed for the sport. An extra storyline in there. You have so many good drivers that stay calm and are positive, as they should be. But Denny Hamlin creating extra narratives there during the race, different rivalries, him and Kyle Larson, him beating William Byron again, you know, in that instance there. I think this is big for the sport, and Denny needs to keep on doing it. Now, I will say, when Davey mentioned Michael Jordan, huge point there, because Michael Jordan was one of the best trash talkers in his generation for the NBA, and he proved pivotal. That's what fans wanted to tune into. That's what was engaging for that sport. So you're not going to be boys with Michael Jordan if you don't act the same way, if you don't have the same level of success or the same mindset that Denny Hamlin does. And I think that's very big. And the fact that he's able to perform as well, too, is very big. I will say this. Kyle Busch was that villain in NASCAR for many, many years. But the thing that went hand in hand with that was his success. And he's been open about that. He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on. But him and the A car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning, and Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
No, that's the big part of this equation. You have to win to be regarded the villain. You can't have a rivalry between two losing teams. Somebody's got to be the victor. I don't really think Denny Hamlin is the villain. I think Denny likes to play this role, and he realizes it's a good spot for him. So bravo. Here's all that Denny's got going on in his life, by the way. He is a dad. He's got, as we're recording this, a new baby on the way. He's involved in a highly publicized lawsuit. He does a podcast every week that's at least an hour long. He's an owner driver, and he's a driver, and he finds time to play golf and do lots of other activities. I don't know if the guy ever sleeps, but bravo to Denny Hamlin. Congratulations on career win 57. Where's Chase Elliott? It's kind of like, where's Waldo? We'll talk about that next.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
On the inside, Byron in the middle, Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding, and Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the trouble.
And a spin off of turn four. Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Thrilled to have Davey Siegel and Tina Patino with us here today on the Pit Reporters. Doug Rice subbing for Brett McMillan. We're always talking a lot about Chase Elliott, and there's a reason why he is the multi-time winner of NASCAR's Most Favorite Driver Award. And by some metrics, he's having a great season. In the regular point standings, he is fifth right now. He has zero playoff points and zero wins. Tino, are the diehards that love Chase Elliott, are we starting to hear a little rumbling from the Greek chorus of Chase Elliott fans?
I think we've been hearing it, honestly. Right when Kyle Larson joined that Hendrick Motorsports stable, that's when things really got shaken up, in my opinion. Because Chase Elliott, at that point, wasn't the best driver in that camp. And now, to me, he's the third best driver right now. And if, you know, if Chase Elliott fans are mad at me for saying that, and because of Kyle Larson, I'll say William Byron's number one, Larson two, Elliott three, and then Bowman in fourth right now. Just the way that he's been performing, he's not dominating races. He's not, like you said, going out leading laps or even getting wins right now. I think that's a big thing they need to keep in mind. And they can be mad at that happening, but Chase Elliott is also one of the most, if not the most, consistent drivers in the sport right now. I understand people are all for wins and they want that to happen, but being in 10th place and plus 142 to the playoff cut line is a good spot to be in. He doesn't get DNFs. He finishes within the top 15 almost every race. He's always within the top five. Like we said, though, he's not leading laps or up there contending for the win. So I feel like that's what they can be mad at because he used to be such a dominant driver in the Cup Series.
Davey, we don't exactly have Chase Elliott's picture on a milk carton yet, but it's been a long time since he's been photographed in victory lane. Do you get a sense that 11 races left to go in the regular season that the number nine is going to post a dub?
Not right now, unfortunately, no. I mean, it's been over a year, and it feels, for Chase Elliott fans, like it's been way longer than that. And I know that he did win the Clash, and there was all the warm and fuzzies that came along with that, and they kicked everybody's tail that night. But that was a preseason race. That was an exhibition race. No money was paid. No points were paid, figuratively and literally. So there's not a lot good going on for Chase Elliott right now in the nine team. Now, I say all that, and Tino and Doug, you brought up good points. He's still fifth in the point standings if you take away all the guys in front of him that have won a race, and he's running okay. But when you're in a Hendrick car, when you're a past champion of the sport, running okay is not the norm. That's not acceptable. That's not what's to be expected. I mean, and I know stats can kind of be twisted and framed into kind of whatever you want to make them, but if you take away the road courses and the super speedways this year, Chase Elliott's finished in the top five once, and that was at Martinsville Speedway when he got a fourth place finish. Everything else, he's been okay. He's been good at some points. He's gotten unlucky at some points, but especially when you compare it to his two teammates, William Byron and Kyle Larson. Both have won races this year. Both have won stages this year. They're racking up those playoff points. They're starting up front with regularity. They're running up front with regularity. And Chase Elliott, for whatever reason, is just kind of there. And for a Hendrick Motorsports driver to just be an afterthought after your two teammates and just kind of be there in the middle of the pack over the weekend, another mid-pack 15th place finish, that's just not what's to be expected for the 9 team. And I think Chase Elliott would be the first one to tell you that.
The only issue I'll take is this year, I think that is what's to be expected, is 15th or better. They're finishing races. The number of laps they've completed is absolutely incredible. You know, I'm kind of sort of officially retired now. So my wife and I hit a couple of wineries the other day, and the wineries always have displays of their award-winning wines up on the shelves, and they'll have them standing up there, and they'll have ribbons around them for first or second place. You know what you don't see? You don't see any wine bottles with ribbons for 8th place or 15th place. You get recognized for winning in this game. And Chase Elliott's done a scarce bit of winning lately. Obviously, the potential's there because you're in a Rick Hendrick car. He could go to Mexico City. To your point, Tino, he's an excellent road racer. Right now, he's the guy with the most wins active in our sport. Could this be salvation south of the border for Chase Elliott?
Oh, I don't know about that. And the reason is he's not the road course driver he used to be. In this next gen era, guys that have dominated, AJ Allmendinger, SVG, we can throw in this mix now, right? Even Daniel Suarez, Ross Chastain. I'm looking at those types of drivers, Kyle Larson, William Byron, Christopher Bell. Those are the guys that I think about for these next gen era of road course races. And Chase Elliott's just not up there. Hey, I'll throw another one, Chris Buescher. And that's almost, what, 10 guys ahead of Chase Elliott? Not where he used to be. Like you said, he leads all active drivers in terms of wins right now on road courses, but it hasn't come very recently. And that's the biggest thing that I've seen. They really need to put together a full race. Pit crew needs to be right. Crew chief needs to make the right calls. And Chase Elliott himself needs to drive a complete race. They've been doing well, like you said, finishing 8th. But I can't go out and say he's going to go out to Mexico, have a strong run, because it's just so hit or miss. He's just been quietly getting there, finishing these races, which is good, but not the performance needed for Hendrick Motorsports driver, like we've mentioned.
Davey, does NASCAR need Chase Elliott to be a winner?
Yes. Because your most popular driver, whether you like it or not, is always the person that people gravitate to that are the quote-unquote casuals, right? And I'm sure if you asked 100 people on the street right now who's Chase Elliott, I would say maybe around half would know who he is. But if you ask people who Dale Jr. is, I'd venture to say 3/4, maybe even 90% know who he is. And Doug, you've talked about it a lot, the fact that Dale Jr., Justin Allgaier, Junior Motorsports, all three of those are in the top 10 of merch sales right now.
Yep.
That speaks to how big his reach is. And, you know, we kind of joke around and call him Redneck Jesus, but it's really true. I mean, even after he's retired from full-time driving, his influence speaks volumes. Chase Elliott, still up near the top of the list, but the fact that Kyle Larson is up there now, Ross Chastain is up there now, people are now nipping at his heels for the most popular driver title. I'm not sure if that says more about where the fan base is going, where Chase Elliott is going, or maybe a confluence of all those things. But I do think in order to have all parties chugging at full speed, going full song, the most popular driver needs to be winning and winning with regularity. That's not to say winning championships, going to championship fours, but going over one calendar year without a points-paying win, the most popular driver doing that, it's not optimal for sure.
Kyle Larson is leading merchandise sales this year. Chase is second, and right in there is Ryan Blaney. So that's a true barometer of fan popularity. Mexico City's up next. We got a lot to digest.
Let's talk about your health insurance. There are a lot of reasons why people need affordable health insurance. But here's the bottom line. You know you need affordable health insurance. For you, a spouse, a family member, whatever. I'm going to give you a free hotline to call to find affordable health insurance that can cover all your health insurance needs in case you get sick or have an emergency, plus cover vision, dental, and more. And there are no long-term commitments. You can keep your plan as long as it's affordable. And for the price of a cup of coffee, we're not talking about one of those fancy coffees. For the price of a regular cup of coffee a day, you can have quality, affordable health insurance. Call the health insurance hotline for a free quote.
800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. That's 800-275-7851.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
One of the most iconic moments in the history of the sport. Your dad and David Pearson racing for the win at Daytona 76.
I learned more from my dad in that moment than probably all the years of being his son before that. Ran that race, comes down to the last lap. Pearson passes Petty. Petty passes Pearson. My dad passes him going into turn three, sweeps up in front of him. They kind of cross over. They get together coming out of turn four. Even though they're running 180, 90, 200 miles an hour, it's the most slow motion wreck in the history of time. As you watch my dad spin and spin down into the grass, you watch Pearson's car with the front end just caved in, come to a stop. And we all leave pit road and run out to the grass. You can see it's myself, it's Barry Dodson, it's Wade Thornburg, it's Dale Inman. We run out and we push the car across the line. We didn't know that if you help the car across the line on the last lap, you're penalized the lap. So if you go back and look at that, my dad finished one lap down in the Daytona 500 that year.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
This coming weekend, NASCAR packs up and heads south of the border to Mexico City Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez for the first race outside of the continental United States since 1958. Tino, how big a deal is this for NASCAR?
Oh, it's a huge deal. To go international now, I think, is awesome for the sport. I love anything that makes this fan base grow stronger, larger, and I think this is a great way to engage a new demographic of people that may not know NASCAR as well as us in America, right? And how about this? Daniel Suarez going back home as well. That's the other factor I wanted to throw in there for my answer here, too, because when you have a driver who's racing in, you know, America's top form of motorsports, that is from Mexico, to be able to reach his fan base and his audience there. And not only to say everyone in Mexico is a Daniel Suarez fan, but now they can interact with him, see him live in person, and see the other drivers he's racing against there. I love the track too as well. So I think this is a great step for NASCAR. I'd love to see them continue to do things like this. I'm not saying all the time, but definitely incorporating it into their schedule at least once or twice a year is very big for the best motorsports in the world, in my opinion.
Davey, I know logistically this has got to be tough, and to be cliche, is the juice going to be worth the squeeze here for all that NASCAR has to do to head to one of the most populous cities in the world?
In a word, Doug, yes. Great pronunciation of the racetrack. I was a little worried when you were starting to get that out of your mouth there, but you did very well. So
thank
I'm proud
you
of you for that.
I won't lie. I have rehearsed that.
As have I. Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez.
I've just been saying road course in Mexico City, and I thought you're not paying this off for the brothers Rodriguez.
Yeah, south of the border, Mexico City, you know, down there, whatever. But you did it well.
Thank you.
Yes, I think it's a huge deal. Es muy importante. Okay, I'm done. That NASCAR is going there.
Now you're
for
just
real.
Showing off.
No. 3 years of Spanish in high school, you know, that really did me well. But it's a huge deal, and it's very important for NASCAR to kind of expand and spread their wings a little bit. And I know that they've raced in Montreal before. They've raced here in Mexico City before as well. But doing it with the Cup Series in this current climate of where sports viewing is, sports attendance is, it's such a big deal, and it is really important. And I know that Steve Phelps has been bullish on the possibility and potential of NASCAR going to Brazil in a year or two, maybe even more than that, for a potential exhibition race. They have the NASCAR Brazil Sprint Series that's going on over there. They've had the Canadian Series for years. They've had the Mexico Series for years. They have a European Series that's been operating for years. And I'll give a shameless plug here to my podcast, Victory Lane, but I talked to five-time Mexico Series champion Ruben Garcia Jr. this week, who also spent some time here stateside running in what was then the K&M Pro Series for Rev Racing. And he said, believe it or not, I was actually pretty surprised by this, Doug. A lot of people, Mexican motorsports fans, they kind of know about and of Daniel Suarez, but they don't really know too much about him. So for the Cup Series to come here, obviously, he's going to be fully embraced, and everybody is going to be a Daniel Suarez fan on Sunday in Mexico City. But Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez is more of an F1 track. It's more of an open wheel type environment. People know Pato O'Ward on the IndyCar side. They know Checo in F1, and they know of Daniel Suarez in NASCAR. But because that the Cup Series hasn't had a huge presence in Mexico City, there hasn't really been that much exposure to Daniel Suarez. So the more you can get the sport in front of new eyes, new ears, new experiences for international fans, spreading the gospel, it's not a bad thing at all. And I'm very excited to see how it plays out.
I agree wholeheartedly. Tino, is this one of those cases that the star for this coming race in Mexico is the racetrack and the race might be secondary?
Yeah, well, I think whoever wins this race is going to have a big following, big, you know, in terms of engagement, in terms of people viewing it, in terms of this being a worldwide, you know, thing that people tune into. I think that's big. The racetrack itself is something that is really cool too. So I think it can go hand in hand. I think whoever, I want to see the drivers step up though, from that standpoint, whether it's Chris Buescher, SVG, Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Chris Bell, those are all the top five drivers in terms of road course racing right now, but it could be someone else. And we look at the playoff picture too, right? Any of these drivers that can win from outside to get in or on the bubble to get in. This is an opportunity. This, to me, this track and this event that we're going to be going to is very big for NASCAR, but it's very big for our season as a whole right now too. So I think the magnitude of this event, the vibes that we're getting, is proper and should be elevated to the extreme, as which we've never seen before, because this not only can set our season up to see, okay, maybe Kyle Larson wins again and dominates, but that's awesome for the sport to do in Mexico, or it's a surprise winner, someone that's not in the current playoff picture. So I would love to see the track get attention, the drivers get attention, if they can all come together to be one big awesome show and event. That's what I think is the main selling point of this race weekend.
Davey, Tino mentioned SVG, Shane Van Gisbergen. He's been kind of missing in action this year. He's 33rd in points as we head into the second half of the regular season. Admittedly, only a couple of shots on the road course. Is this a guy that can get well in Mexico City? Could he even qualify for the playoffs? What are your thoughts for the likable New Zealander?
Yes, the Kiwi, as they call him down there, Doug. Yes, 100%. He can. This is why Shane Van Gisbergen is a Cup Series driver. He's a Cup Series driver because he should be winning on road courses. And I know that might be flippant and might sound flippant, but he did it before in Chicago. I understand that that scenario was totally different with being the first of its kind for everybody and everyone involved. But at the same time, he has proven that he is capable of doing this. And Justin Marks would not have given him this opportunity if he didn't believe that too. And the fact that there are so many road courses in the regular season to potentially qualify that 88 team in Trackhouse Racing for the postseason, they are expected to be there. They are expected to win a road course race. I don't think anybody in their right mind is expecting SVG to win on an oval. And if you are, I'd like you to be tested. But a road course, that's a different story. Because truthfully, this is what we expect out of him. Whether it's Watkins Glen, whether it's Sonoma, Chicago, Mexico City, it doesn't matter. COTA, that's already happened, obviously, in the rearview mirror. If the 88 car is not running inside the top five contending for a win on Sunday, I think that's going to be a huge missed opportunity. And yes, they'd be disappointed, Doug, but knowing that they have several more road courses in the regular season, including two in a row with Chicago and Sonoma later this summer, that is right for the picking for the 88 team, for sure.
Davey, you are so right. As the French would say, his raison d'etre, his reason for being, is to live. How about that? We dropped a Spanish and a French line in one Pit Reporter's show.
Multilanguage.
His reason for being, Tino, is to race on a road course. I want you to take off your analyst hat and put on your bookmaking hat here, because Daddy's got to pay for Amazon packages. What? Give me the top three odds right now, as we're a few days out from racing in Mexico City. What are you thinking?
Well, SVG is going to be on the top of the board if he's not already, because of everything Davey mentioned. People are recognizing the fact that he's in this sport to win on road courses. And he's, I mean, you look at other drivers that have been in the sport longer, right? They should be, in my opinion, favored to win this race outright. But it's because of the fact that we're looking at a new track. When we were at a new track like Chicago, SVG was the driver that went out and won it then. And even in his first Cup Series start, he was still mid-pack, 8-1 on race day. He was back then, and I picked him to win that race outright, so we cashed a pretty penny back then as well. So SVG is going to be the top driver. Daniel Suarez, I would expect to get a lot of love as well. Whether or not, you know, I was glad Davey brought up the fact that people don't necessarily know him that well there yet in Mexico, but everyone is aware that he is a Mexican driver, Mexican person, right? So he's from there, and now I think that's going to play a huge hand in the odds as well. Another driver I can see getting a lot of love in this one is Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick was very close to winning the Chicago Street Race last year. In my opinion, I think he should have won it, gave it away there at the end to Alex Bowman. So I think when we look at these drivers, their wins in this next-gen era, and I think especially with SVG having four top 10 finishes in the five road course races that he's run in, when we look at these drivers, not only do all of them need a win thus far this year to get themselves into the playoffs and get locked in, they're going to be the odds-on favorites in this one.
All right, thanks a lot, Tino. Great insight there. Is NASCAR a good bet? We got a couple of guys here that can address that, and we'll do it next here on the Pit Reporters.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. And I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner, the official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Riders, start your engines!
Echo Park Speedway is built for battles. High speeds, tight packs, dramatic finishes.
Crossover move, they're three wide for the lead.
It's the same track you love, now under the lights, where every moment feels bigger. Experience the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart Saturday, June 28th, under the lights in Atlanta. Get your tickets now at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And we are honored to have a couple of really great guests with us, a couple of guys that have great insight into the NASCAR universe. Davey Siegel of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. He's an odds maker, he's an analyst, and he also understands the gaming world, and that's Tino Patino. Tino, I want to get into this. We talked about the odds, setting that up for Mexico City, and I think people are familiar with that. Where is NASCAR in the evolution of people gaming on it? I think when I think sports betting, my brain automatically goes to football, which is, I think, ingrained now in the American psyche. Then past that, maybe MLB and basketball. Racing, is, I feel like it's got a long ways to go.
It does have a long way to go, but it's definitely growing. And I think that's the biggest thing. As sports betting has become more and more legalized across the country, that's something that me and myself, I'm trying to promote how great NASCAR is, not only as a sport to watch, but to bet on as well. Here's why. You talked about NFL, and I'm glad you brought that up first. In my mind, when I think of a favorite to win an NFL game, what are the odds going to be there? Minus 200, minus 350? You're looking at teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe the Buffalo Bills, and a game that is easily winnable for them. Well, in NASCAR, you're not getting a favorite under 5-1, 6-1. Denny Hamlin, when he won this race this weekend, opened up at plus 600.
All right, we've seen folks Ryan that Blaney aren't educated in the betting world, what does that mean when Denny Hamlin opens up at plus 600? Because a lot of people have never placed a bet in their life. What, break that down.
For sure. So those are his odds to win this race outright. Now, to put it in perspective, I feel like the easiest way to make sense of this is if you were to bet $10 there, you would come back with a $50 payout for him if the odds were 5-1. So that's pretty good value. Now, when we look at a NFL game, minus 500, you're only getting less than you're putting in for that standpoint if you're throwing in $10. So when the odds are greater in a sense for NASCAR as a sport, you're able to make more money and you're able to profit a lot easier rather than looking at an NFL game or an MLB game, NBA game, because the favorites there are all minus value, all under the line there. So for plus money, NASCAR races and the favorites each week are plus money. I will say this, though, too. It makes sense for them to be as high as they are in the odds department because of everything that goes into winning a NASCAR race. Denny Hamlin gets out after Michigan and says, these things are very hard to win. You need everything to go right. You need to have a fast car. Pit crew needs to be on point. You can be like Carson Hocevar leading and then blow a left front tire, run out of fuel. I had Ryan Blaney last year when he was leading in WWT and he ran out of gas. So there's so many different variables. And that's why when we look at the odds, they're so much greater than your average sports in your stick and ball sports, that is. So I think that could sort of put things in perspective. A $10 can be grown to so much more greater in this sport of NASCAR rather than NFL, NBA, MLB.
And Davey, I know that you help pick winners every week on Sirius. And to Tino's point, the variables that are involved in this, I feel like in betting NASCAR or automobile racing in general, are astronomical compared to any other sport.
100% agree. And I think that the way that people gamble and bet on NASCAR nowadays is not what it once was, because there's a lot more options in sports books, whether it's FanDuel, DraftKings, some official NASCAR partners, or some other smaller books that are totally legalized in most U.S. states now. They have caught on or are starting to catch on and realize that there are a lot of different ways for them to engage the consumer. It's not just betting somebody straight up to win the race outright. It's betting on them to finish top three. It's betting on them to finish top five, top 10, a top manufacturer to win, whether that's Ford, Chevy, or Toyota. And next year, if you bet on a top manufacturer to win a truck race, you can add another one into that with Ram coming into the fold. There's other bets involved with matchups. That's what I really try to tell my friends to go after who are very into sports betting. They know that I work in NASCAR and they don't know too much about it, but the Daytona 500 is happening. Mexico City's going on. They want to watch and they want to have some skin in the game. So I tell them to go with matchups, because that's kind of a good way to start out, I feel, instead of just going with one person to win the race that could blow up in smoke, figuratively or literally, in the first couple laps. This way, you are watching a matchup within the race, a race within it specifically, similar to how we're going to see the in-season tournament and challenge take place starting at Atlanta. It's one driver against another, whoever finishes better. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to gambling and betting in this sport. You can bet on props, you can bet on stages, you can bet on qualifying. There are so many ways to gamble in this sport, and it's always a good thing too, because you're getting interesting parties and new people involved in it. Like I mentioned, I have a ton of friends that are in their mid-20s, early 30s, which is one of the target demographics that NASCAR is going after. I know for a fact, Doug, that they watch more NASCAR now because sports betting and sports gambling is legalized where they are, and NASCAR is definitely on the front edge of that and getting involved with it. So I think it's a good thing for everybody.
Well, if you ever doubted where sports betting and Vegas books were in our society, all you had to do was watch the election results in the last election. You know who the analysts were going to and leaning on for projections of who was going to win? Was it going to be Harris? Was it going to be Trump? They were going to the bookmakers. As the night went on, they were saying, well, now Vegas likes Trump, because early on, Vegas liked Harris. And that's where they were basing their projections on, was how the money was going on the money line. Tina, what is it? Davey dropped a phrase there that I love, because these are always fun. Prop bets. One, what is a prop bet? And two, what are some cool prop bets that you can do in racing?
For sure. Well, I think the biggest thing, and Davey alluded it to, are the prop bets for finishing positions. So that's what prop bets are not. So you have the outright winner bets, and the prop bets are different bets you can place within the race for different finishing positions. In NASCAR, that's what it means. So a good prop bet to start off with is top three finisher. Those odds there are going to be very less than a top five finisher. So top five, top threes, you can bet on those drivers to finish inside the top three and the top five, and they don't have to go out and win the race. If they finish anywhere inside top, well, you know, first, second, third, you get the top three to hit. Same thing one through five, and you can even extend that to a top 10 play. Now, top 10 props are one of my favorite to go after, because there's more value out there on the board and a lot more drivers that you can see come home with that are underdogs per se. For instance, Erik Jones at Michigan had a strong shot at that, finished 11th, but he was a driver Dave and I were talking about on our pre-race show for, you know, that race last week, where he was, you know, plus 550, which that means bet $10, get $55 in return to get a top 10 finish. And that's a driver where a lot more are seeing value on the board to get top 10s in that prop market, because there's other factors that can go into the race. Now, for instance, to compare that to a driver like Kyle Larson, he'd be minus 500 to get a top 10, because you expect him to potentially go out and win the race or finish in top five. So that's where when we look at prop bets in this NASCAR industry, we have to see where the values are to be had there. We're not going to bet on anyone that's minus money or below the line there at even money, because we know how many different things can go wrong in a race. And that way we want to just profit in the best way possible, in the most cases or options to do so. Davey mentioned matchups. Another one that I like is top manufacturer parlays that you can do. So on DraftKings and other sports books, but I'm mentioning DraftKings here as that's the official sports book of NASCAR, is you can pick the top Chevy driver, top Ford driver, top Toyota driver. And what I do personally and give out on my social media at Tino Patino is I put the top Chevy driver parlayed, and a parlay is when you put all these different picks together to increase your odds. So for instance, let's say William Byron, like this past weekend, was plus 200, $10 to bring home 20, to be the top Chevy driver. So he doesn't have to win the race. He could finish 10th, and all Chevy drivers, as long as they're behind him, you'd cash out on that. I picked William Byron to be the top Chevy, Denny Hamlin to be the top Toyota, and Chris Buescher to be the top Ford. They were running 1-2-3 on the last lap, and that's why I call myself a betting analyst and expert. And then William Byron ran out of fuel. So that's just a good perspective as to how close we can get, how the odds were so much greater because I piled them all together in that parlay. And ultimately, sometimes we cash and sometimes we don't.
And that's why they call it gambling. Hey, I'm going to give these guys four in a box and let them chew on that next.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about a dollar a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as a dollar, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about a dollar a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Our planet is home to some of the most amazing creatures you could ever imagine, from the biggest bears to the smallest birds and everything in between. If we want our kids and their kids to experience the magic of wildlife that we have today, it's on us to step it up and take action. You can make a difference. Learn more about wildlife conservation in your area and how you can help. This is Eli Wenders. Let's make sure our wildlife is around for generations to come. Y'all take care of the earth and it'll take care of us. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The speed, the drama, the only NASCAR race in California. The Toyota Save Mart 350 NASCAR Weekend rolls into Sonoma Raceway July 11th through 13th. 3 days of high-speed thrills, edge-of-your-seat action, and family fun in the heart of wine country. Bring the whole family. Kids tickets start at just $10. Don't miss NASCAR's biggest stars battling for victory. Get your tickets now at SonomaRaceway.com. This is NASCAR. This is California. This is Sonoma.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Welcome back to the Pit Reporters. Doug Rice subbing today for Brett McMillan. Enjoying a well-deserved vacation. Fun to be on the show today with Tino Patino and Davey Siegel, who I'm usually taking orders from when I sub over on the Sirius NASCAR channel. So good to have both of these guys. And we were talking about the world of gaming, gambling, betting. NASCAR fairly new into that world, but it seems to be catching on. We always stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Plug for our good friends there who also sponsor the fall race at Las Vegas. And if you go by there, and I go by every Sunday and pick up the odds so we can talk about them when we do the races there. And the way they do matchups, Tino, is kind of fascinating. You get four drivers of the like ilk, and I'm sure this is done at all the sports books too, but you have to pick the one that's going to do the best. Doesn't matter if they win, like you said earlier, but it's not as easy as it seems.
Oh, no, it's not. And I think that's the most fun part as well for some people, including myself, because it always happens to be which driver may you not expect to win that group matchup, like you said. If there's four drivers out of it, if there's a driver that's favored, I may be looking at one that has higher value, one that may be an underdog in that type of matchup to prevail out of that group. And you know what else I may want to do? Because I feel so confident in my abilities to bet on these drivers, and I've been doing it for so long now where I have a good grasp, and I've been watching NASCAR as a fan as a whole too, so I'm able to pick up on different trends, different keys that, how Davey mentioned, his friends, I have the same type of vibe where my friends are big into the sports world, love gambling, love being a part of different games by betting on them. Well, I give them all my NASCAR insights. So for instance, I take one driver to win a group there and take another one, put them together into a parlay. Any chance we can get to have higher odds and a greater chance to win more money is something that I love sharing with my friends, sharing with anyone that follows me out there, because that's a good way to just enjoy the race more when you're winning money for doing so.
Just for the record, I do not have a sports betting app on my phone, and there's a good reason for that, because I might win the first three times, and that would be a problem. Davey, here's one I just made up. This is a four in a box here for me. This is from Mexico. I'm Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, Ryan Blaney. I don't have any odds set on those.
If I had to pick one, is that what you were going to ask?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask.
I'd probably lean C. Bell, just because he has shown that he can get the job done on road courses, and he's running the Xfinity race the day before, and I know that the altitude may be a factor and, you know, all those things that go along with it, but track time and seat time, I think, trump all those things, whether it's the physical aspect, the mental aspect. Sim can only do so much. I feel like actually getting your butt in a physical seat, in a physical race car, and even though an Xfinity car and a Cup car are kind of apples to oranges these days, I think that does matter. So out of those four drivers, I probably would go C. Bell. And I think that he or Larson might be the favorite out of that group, just because, like I said, Bell's already won on a road course this year. He's got multiple wins to his credit so far. And Kyle Larson is Kyle Larson, and he most likely is going to be the favorite wherever you go. Doesn't matter if it's in the U.S. or if it's in Mexico. So I'd probably go see Bell out of that group.
He defies international lines. One last of these, and then we'll move on. Tina, I'm going to go back to you. I'm going to give you Josh Berry, Ryan Preece, Kyle Busch, Bubba Wallace.
Well, I'm going Kyle Busch in this one because it's a road course, right? We haven't seen Bubba Wallace really narrow that down just yet. He did qualify well earlier this year at COTA, but I think he still needs a little bit more experience. Kyle Busch, to me, and how he did race at COTA, it looked like he was going to get that win there. He held off Christopher Bell at the end. I think he would probably be in that matchup one of the favorites there. I think Josh Berry would probably be higher odds there. Ryan Preece as well. Ryan Preece is a gritty race car driver, always grinds out for a good top 10, top 15 like we've seen, but when we're talking road courses specifically as we're going to Mexico, I think out of those four drivers, Kyle Busch would be my guy, and I have my eyes on him to potentially get a win here soon. I know it's crazy to say, but when we think about everything that's happened thus far this season, strategy plays, NASCAR overtime finishes, if there is a surprise winner, to me, I think it's going to have to be Kyle Busch at some point this year. The RCR isn't the same level as the other top manufacturers that we've seen out there, the top teams, but Kyle Busch has been overperforming in that equipment, and I could see him in a crazy potential race here in Mexico go out and get that victory.
Davey, stepping away from the betting window now, random question here. Best story of the year so far in the NASCAR Cup Series?
I would say it probably is the Wood Brothers running so well. And getting that win at Vegas, that's one thing. And Miles Stanley, John Wood, Josh Bear, they all said to a man that that was way earlier than they thought it was going to happen. And they hoped it would happen, but they were not expecting it that early. But just the fact that that 21 car, as iconic as it is, as historic as it is running up front weekly. And we've seen that reflected in the odds from sportsbooks as well that Tino and I were looking at this past week leading into Michigan. You know, whether they qualify up front or not, it's probably a safe bet that the 21 car and Josh Berry are going to be making their way up to the front in short order. And we've seen that on a lot of different tracks, intermediates, short tracks, even super speedways. Wood Brothers and obviously the Team Penske Power under that hood from Roush Yates Engines, they have brought a good piece to the racetrack pretty much every single week. And no disrespect to the drivers that came before Josh Berry, because Harrison Burton won a race at Daytona last year and made the playoffs, for goodness sake. But we understand the circumstances that were surrounding him and that win and that race. To see Josh Berry doing what he's doing and that race team performing the way that a Team Penske car should and does, that to me is giving me kind of the warm and fuzzies, because the Wood Brothers being around for as long as they have, celebrating the 75th anniversary this year, it's good to see them up front and it's good to see them contending.
Yeah, every week we see them consistently running in the top 10, and you're right, it's kind of refreshing. Tino, for you, best story that Cup has produced this year?
My answer is going to be the Cup Series as a whole. The parity that we've seen this season has been awesome. Toyota, 6 wins. Chevy's got 5. Ford has 4. All Team Penske drivers having a win there. And when the season got off to a start, I was a little concerned. Christopher Bell went out and won 3 straight. We saw Denny Hamlin win back-to-back. Kyle Larson has 3 wins. I was like, man, in a season last year where we didn't see a single repeat winner, I thought maybe this season may not be as exciting for people to tune into with those drivers dominating, with the top teams and top drivers being at that top level. But instead, we're seeing it be almost equal across the board now. Drivers like Josh Berry getting a win. Hey, Ross Chastain getting a good win at the Coke 600. And going branching off of that, when we talk about parity, I'm looking at this playoff picture right now. After Michigan, from 15th to 20th, hey, even 14th, Chris Buescher's plus 20 and Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s minus 20 from the cut line. These are all, 7 to 8 drivers that can be in this playoff picture. And I think that competitive racing is just going to continue to amp up at each week after each week, race after race. And we're seeing potential new winners. Carson Hosefar, you can throw him in the mix there. That's a great storyline. AJ Allmendinger is overproducing. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has been in the mix. I can't just pick one person or one driver. So the parity as a whole to me has been awesome, because there's so many different things I can point out. I love the playoff picture where it's at right now.
All right, kind of quick answer from both of you here. Davey, I'll start with you. As we are chatting right now, pre-Mexico, we've had 9 different winners. 2 kind of outliers, Chastain and Berry. The rest of them are from the top 3 big teams. Mm-hmm. How many winners will we have? One of my favorite topics, how many different winners will we have at the end of 26 races in the regular season?
13. I think we get 4 more. I think 2 of those come from road courses, and I think whether Tyler Reddick gets one on a road course or not, I think he will get one. And I feel like at a super speedway or somewhere else, somebody's going to come out of nowhere and do what Harrison Burton did last year. So I'll say 13.
So 11 races left to go, Tino, and Davey Siegel likes 13 winners individually this year. Where do you stand on that?
That was a good number. I will say that. I'm going to go and say 14 just to be different because, like Davey said, the road courses are big here, and especially these drivers that are outside the playoff picture, I can see them capitalizing there. And we do have a couple super speedways too, so keep an eye on that. I would say 14 different winners.
All right, I'm older and more cynical, so I'm going to say 11.
You? Cynical?
Yes, yes. I don't know where all of these winners are coming from, but that's the fun part. We'll take a break. Come right back with our white flag laps.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe. Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
We have about 3 minutes of content left to generate. It's time now for the white flag laps for Tino Patino and Davey Siegel. Tino, go first. Anything you want to talk about and pontificate on for about the next 60 seconds, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on the show. My big thing in this white flag lap is going to be Carson Hocevar. I think he is the next big thing in this Cup Series race world. Maybe not yet. Maybe he doesn't get a win this season, but his aggressive driving style is great for the sport. He needs to tone it down a little bit, but I think he's done just that. And I think if he can start to finish races where he's running them, he will not only be a winner, he will be a champion, and he will race for one of the top manufacturers, one of the top teams in the sport within a few years. To me, he reminds me of a young Joey Logano, hungry, going out there, not really caring what people think, not really caring about making friends. I think that may hurt him from time to time being a young driver, but it helps him ramp up his learning, running around those leaders. That's been big for me to see. So Carson Hocevar to be a Cup Series champion, I'm calling it now.
All right, Davey, you got to follow up Tino's quality take there.
Well, I think there's a lot of glitz, glamour, and cool appeal of going to Mexico City, and that should be celebrated. But I think somebody and a group of people that should also be recognized are the hauler drivers. They are doing Lord's work this week. I got some stats for you, Doug. From Mexico City to Pocono, which is where they're going after the race this weekend, 2,500 miles of driving. That's over a day and about 40 hours. And right now, they are en route to Mexico City from Michigan. That's 35 hours and 2,250 miles. They are loading them up and putting them down physically and literally to Mexico City and then to Pocono. So give a shout out to the hauler drivers that are listening and doing the God's work for us, because truly and legitimately without them, this race would not be happening. So salute to you, fellas.
You got that right. And they've got a lot of work left ahead of them. We got just a second left. I want to shout out to the folks at Prime, the new TV package. I know a lot of people were skeptical about it. The product they've been putting on the air is exemplary. Keep that up. They got two more shows left to go, as they will have Mexico City and Pocono, and then it'll all switch over as they head down to the Echo Park Automotive Speedway, formerly known as AMS. For Davey, for Tino, I'm Doug Rice. Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.